Hi, and thank you for listening in to the New Song Podcast from this week's service. You are welcome and encouraged to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays in person. And for more information on how to get involved with New Song, go to newsonglouisville.org and follow us on social media. And now for today's message.
Honey, how long have we known our special guest today?
Oh my goodness. 28. Has it been 28 years? Wow.
All right.
That's something.
We must have met when I was like 13 or something.
Yeah. You're
Gee
so young.
Whiz. I am. So we're excited to have Sue Detweiler with us today. I wish Wayne could be here too. Her husband's a dear friend too. And if you're watching Wayne, hello, Wayne. We miss you. And we're excited about what God is going to bring this morning from Sue. And we've been friends for a long, long time.
Yeah, we have.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Do you want to say something?
No, what a privilege it is to be friends for that long and to grow and see what God is doing in your life and to witness that and to be an encouragement to each other. That is a real gift. So we love you.
And Sue's ministered here a number of times through the years. I think maybe one of the last occasions was one of our women's conferences that we hosted a few years back. Wayne and Sue, a few years back, moved from Nashville, the Nashville area, to the Dallas area. Mm-hmm. And probably she would have been here a lot more if she hadn't been so far away.
That's true.
So we're just really blessed to have her with us today. She's on her way to a book convention. She's got a book table back there. She just came out with a brand spanking new book called Healing Rain. She'll probably tell you more about that. Mm-hmm. But you're going to want to pick up some of those resources today, and I know God has something good for you through our dear sister Sue today. Would you give her a really strong New Song welcome to Sue Detweiler? She comes and ministers.
Amen. I love you guys. Oh, what? This is so fun. Hi, family. It's so good to be with you. You are looking good. And, you know, this is a generous congregation. Isn't it amazing, those missionaries around the world? I'm just amazed by that. And so I want to start out with generosity. I like giving things away. So if there's a woman in the room that you have been a mama of prayer, just come right on up. Come right on up. You choose who you are. Have you been praying? Are you a praying mama? Well, what's your name? Mona. Okay, Mona, come stand beside me. So we just speak over you, Mona, that there's going to be an increase in the power of your prayers. I believe there's going to be some nights you're up praying. And I pray over you the travail of the Lord, that you would learn what it means to give birth in the spirit to things even before. Yeah. And I pray that there'd be an increase. I believe there's going to be people that are healed through your prayers, that it's like you're going to just stand in agreement. And I believe there's going to be a prophetic precision. Mm. It's like you're going to be praying for people before they even know they need the prayer. And so, Lord, we just release a prophetic intercession, and that she would be a woman who moves mountains. I'm starting to feel the glory of God. We don't want you to fall here. But let me give you this book and be careful when you go down. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We need to be people of prayer who move mountains, right? And this couple, come on up. Craig, and is it Timony? Winnie, come on up. I want to give you a gift. 9 traits of a life-giving marriage, how to build a marriage that lasts. And where are you guys headed? Wow, Louisiana. Well, just stand here a minute. So what are you going to be doing in Louisiana?
Well, I'm going to teach design.
Wow.
University of Louisiana. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know you're being sent as missionaries, right?
Yes.
Did you know sometimes we go with specific assignments, but really we're missionaries? Yeah. And I pray that you would have missionary hearts. And I want to pray over your marriage, that God would put you in touch with couples that literally you would be a mom and a dad to. I believe that in your house, your home, and everywhere you go, there will be a portal to heaven where heaven will come to earth. And that there are going to be spiritual sons and daughters that are waiting for you in Louisiana. And that I hear the Lord saying, open your heart and your home. They will find you. So we bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, here, they want a picture, so let's let her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and in fact, take as many pictures as you want and little videos and up and down. I would use them, so thank you. Oh, I have one more. Would Glenn come up? Glenn, would you guys just give him a hand clap? I just loved worship this morning. I believe in the power of communion. You know, in fact, I had a grandchild healed when we took communion. It was Hannah, and she had had a miscarriage, then she had a baby, and then she started to bleed, you know. And so she went to the hospital, and my husband and I are claiming, and we took communion, and we claimed the life of our 8th grandchild. And by the grace of God, she lived. He lived, Johnny. Praise God. Praise God. What I sense over you is the joy of the Lord. And my biggest prayer, and where's your family? Is your family here too? Okay, they're all working. Yeah, you are a family of servants. I believe that God wants to release joy on your family. And you know, joy is not anchored in any type of circumstance. It's just not. It's joy of the Lord. And this gift is healing rain. And I wrote it out of my own struggle and pain. In fact, a friend of mine that was on my healing journey, she thought I would write a book about suffering. You know, and I laughed because I knew no one would buy a book on suffering. But they would buy a book of healing. And one thing I know about my suffering, and I know you've gone through suffering, is that there's something about we fellowship with Jesus even in the suffering. And so the scripture I sense over you is Philippians 3, you know, where we suffer with him and we're made like him, his image. And that, but we also see his resurrection. You know, it's not just suffering. It doesn't stop there because of the promise of the resurrection. But we let go the past. We live in the present. And we lay hold of the future. That's Philippians 3. And one thing I pray over you, it's a Greek word. I'm a Greek nerd. It's katalambano. And it means to lay hold of or to seize and perceive with your mind. And I pray that there just be a fresh revelation of his goodness, his joy, and his healing. And Lord, I pray right now over Glenn, Lord, a healing anointing. Lord, I pray that as he ministers in song, that there would be an outbreak of healing in this house, God. Lord, even in the breaking of the bread and the taking of the blood, that they would remember the power of your salvation. Lord, we know he's been on a healing journey, and we know that the victory is yours and that it's his. That his final outcome is healing, no matter what. So God, we just thank you for the miracle of healing. And we thank you for the miracle of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bless you and you too. Good.
You know, God's just so amazing, isn't he? I can't imagine going through anything without struggle. Well, this is home, so we decided to, oh, Glenn, I should have had you help me. turn this on. Okay, it's on. I got it. I decided to go back memory lane. So, and use pictures that this is when I'm 19 years old. This is 19 years old. We are not married yet, and I'm headed to Belize, Central America. I really felt called to the nations. And there is this man of God. And by the way, no one took this photo. We used an old camera that, you know, with a tripod and a timer. And so we're having this conversation, a very deep conversation. We're at that point of we're not engaged, but we're talking about marriage. You know how that is. And so this man says to me, now you have to know we were from a Mennonite background. I'd never heard a woman preach until I did it. I began preaching at 19. So I've been preaching for 40 years. But this man says to me, I see the call of God on your life. And I want you to know that if God would call us to marry, that I would lay down my life for you, that your call to the nations would be fulfilled. And then the picture clicked. And then I don't know, it's an old photo, a picture of a photo. But do you see the rainbow effect? We got it back. And we used it for our engagement photo just because we sensed the presence of God and the promise of God. And I say that, who's the young person headed to the school of ministry? Yes. Would you stand up, David? Jaden. Well, you know, you have a David's heart. You are a worshiping warrior. My friends have started to remind me that anytime I call somebody by the wrong name, I'm actually prophesying. So I'm starting to take note. You are a worshiping warrior. And there's something that's going to come that you are going to be so saturated in the presence of God. Now, Jaden, I don't want you to be frustrated as you get into this place of worship and praise, because whenever we come into the presence of God, we're refined. So there we are in the presence of God, and we see more of our sin, you know, we see more of our shortcomings. Don't worry about that. As God shows his holiness and you let go of that purification, you're going to become more holy. And that's the biggest compliment I can give you. I pray that you would walk in hunger, humility, and holiness. I pray that that would be the mark of your life. And I pray that as you go, God would begin to open up the big expanse of the world, and that you would find your life purpose in bringing heaven to earth. Would you guys reach your hands towards him? Lord, we just release the power of God over Jaden. We pray that he would go in the anointing of God Almighty. We pray, God, that there'd be strength and might. And Lord, we pray for humility, God, and a lifestyle of repentance, even as there's a lifestyle of worship and prayer and praise. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, today I want to give you a message about seven keys to move mountains. And we know that mountains are immovable, right? You look at a mountain and it's impossible to move a mountain. But there are times that in our lives we face impossible situations, things that are absolutely impossible, and yet God speaks to our heart and he says, move that mountain. And so we come into agreement with what God's saying rather than what we think or feel or our emotions. And keys are something that help you unlock doors. Keys help you gain right of access. Keys open up pathways that you've never had before. And God wants to do that in your life. So Isaiah 43 is, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have ransomed you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I wanted to share this scripture and this picture of the fire because it frames something that happened early in my life where my husband and I were pastoring and we had planted a church and we'd just had our first baby. We came home, we put her in her crib. My husband went to church because church was the next day. And when I woke up, she was screaming. And I had no way to get to her because I was so disoriented. I got turned around in my closet. I went to the window, put it up, and that's how I knew my house was on fire and I had no idea how to get out. What do you do when you're in a life and death situation? I dropped to my knees. Not because I was level-headed and thought, I'll crawl out. I knew I had no idea how to get out of the room. And I prayed help. That's what you do when you're in a life and death situation, whether you know Jesus or not. You drop to your knees and you cry out, help. Well, by the grace of God, my husband had gotten home. And he got home. Imagine how he felt. He drove up the hill. The whole hillside was lit up with fire, and people had driven their cars to watch this fire. The house next to us under construction had already gone to the ground. And so there we were. Our neighbors thought we were still on vacation. And so they had thrown a rock at my daughter's window. That's how she'd woken up. The fire alarms didn't go off. These things happen, you guys. And so it was my daughter's cries that helped me get out of that slumber. I found out later that most people do not die from the flames, they die from the smoke. They just never wake up. And so as I'm screaming for help, nothing's really coming out of my throat. It's kind of raspy. And so by the grace of God, my husband grabbed the fireman and he grabbed him and said, did you get my wife and my baby out? And so the firemen, fire trucks had been stopped by a train. So there's only one fire truck, one fireman, and he's dropping the hose and running to the house, grabbing a mask. My husband and a neighbor got Rachel Joy out. She was 5 weeks old. And then he came and he said, with a big flashlight, he said, come towards the light. Isn't that prophetic? And I went towards the light. You know, one thing I'm looking forward to in heaven is seeing the face of that man. I pray that he'll be in heaven. That saved me. But I want you to know, I know angels were there that night. I really do. I know that angels were fighting a battle. The enemy wanted to kill us. But God had assigned a praying woman, my mother. She had been assigned by God to fast and pray over this scripture. So when we call her from the hospital, because of course they rushed us there, she says, when we're telling her the story, oh, you're the ones I've been praying for. And I want you to get this picture because I'm like hysterical. I mean, there's nothing about me. They were afraid about Rachel. She had kind of gone limp, and they were afraid that her brain had been impacted, her lungs had been impacted. They were telling me all sorts of terrible things about the prognosis of my baby. So there was nothing happy in me. But when we called my mother, because she had had that, I'll call it importunity. It's when God alerts you that there's a life and death situation and you need to pray and you need to fast. And my mother, a seasoned prayer warrior, knew that and claimed that we would go through the fire and that the fire would not consume us. That we would come through on the other side because the Lord, our God, had saved us. And that's really what happened. And truthfully, we met you guys after this. Because God did such a miracle in the fire. And I want you to picture this because it went from bad to worse. We have no home. We have no diapers. We have no crib, you know. We're living at a neighbor's, fighting with the insurance company. Then we're in an apartment. You know, are you getting the picture? And then we're the pastor, so who do we go to? We start fighting. Rachel starts screaming every night, you know, like 4 hours straight. Anybody have a baby with colic? How many of you know that we were hanging by our fingernails? That, I mean, it was not good in our house. And we knew we needed help. I just graduated from seminary, and I knew that none of my seminary professors could help me. By the grace of God, a Spirit-filled leader in our life invited us to a place of healing prayer, and really it was deliverance. And I got set free. I mean, I got set free, you guys. And, you know, you go there and you're thinking, okay, I need to forgive the arsonist who set my house on fire, because it was an arsonist who liked to see things burn. I needed to forgive them. But you know how it is when you're in those prayer times, those healing times, often it goes back to deeper things. And there I was in the middle of this prayer session, and I'm forgiving the person that had abused me as a child. And as I did that, I could feel a demonic presence coming out of me. I mean, a scream came out of my mouth, and I was delivered of a spirit of rejection. I was later delivered of a spirit of religion. Now, why do I say this? Because in North America, the church, even though we read the Bible and we see that Jesus was regularly healing people and casting out devils, right? We don't apply it to our own lives. We think that those are just choices. In the seminary I went to, they thought, you know, it's kind of the demon of drink, you know, the choices that you make. But the reality is we have a life and death struggle. That's why prayer is so important. And so my husband and I got so free that people could see it in our countenance. They could see it in the way that we treated each other. They could see it. And so what happened through the fire is that God used it to set me on fire. And there was such a healing power inside of me that I began to be an evangelist called to healing. So let me tell you some of those healing stories. I'll tell you one that happened around that time period. Do you all know what strip clubs are? You guys do know what that is. Well, we had a neighbor named Santos. He had a purple car. And I think he managed, it was a purple club downtown. I forget the name of it. But I was interacting, you know, we'd probably given them our number. He lived with a girlfriend, a couple of their kids. He hurt his back. So he called me and asked for a chiropractic number, somebody, you know, that I knew. I said, I'll give you that, but I'll be right over. I grabbed my Bible, I grab my bottle of oil, and I sit down with Santos and his girlfriend, and their kids were kind of naked running around. Do you know that God completely healed his back that day? And God opened up a pathway to share the gospel. His mother was actually a praying mother. He did not receive Christ that day, but do you know how you're planting seeds and you're just praying, God, I believe you that Santos found you, God. And then I prayed for his girlfriend and the kids. They had flu or, you know, cold or something like that. They were all healed. So then that began to be an ongoing conversation that God is our healer. And do you know that God will use you in healing even when you are struggling yourself? We live in an interesting world, don't we? We do, where we know that God has power of healing, and yet we live in a fallen world where there are struggles with sickness and pain. We have a choice of whether or not we will lower our expectation to our experience, or whether we will anchor it on the Word of God. And when we anchor it on the Word of God, even when our experience doesn't always line up, we know that in the final reality, it does. How many of you know that when you go to heaven, you get a heavenly body? Woo! Oh, I'm so excited about my heavenly body. Oh my gosh, I am so excited. No more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow. I mean, the reality is where we are headed is complete healing, complete wholeness, complete reconciliation in relationships. Is that not amazing? That is our final reality. So we anchor our hope on that, knowing that everything here that we go through, that we offer to God, becomes a sweet-smelling fragrance to him. Do you know that we lay up treasure in heaven when we suffer? Did you know that? Did you know that when we give a sacrifice of praise, we can only do that on this earth? When we're in heaven, we don't have any more sickness. We don't have any more trial or pain. We still have joy and exploration and adventure, but the hard things about life are no longer a part. Today, and I'm going to go back. I think I skipped one. Let's see if I can do that. Yeah. I thought you'd want to see my kids around the time. You probably remember my kids this age. Yes. So we had a household, 6 children. Lisa was living with us at that point. But God had given me a promise early on after I went home and married my husband that if I laid down my life for my children, not only would he send me to the nations, but he'd send my children as well. And you know, sometimes you have those promises. So I'm laying my life down for my children, and they're all starting to travel to the nations. Like Angela had been to 7 nations by the time she was 20, some of them several times. She was fluent in Spanish and in Portuguese. But do you know what she's doing right now? Yeah, she's laying down her life for her children because I now have 8 grandchildren. So my children are, this is a picture that has 8 of them. It's about a year old, but I mean, it's such a joy, isn't it? Grandchildren. But I wonder if I had not obeyed God, would they be happily being moms? I'm not sure. You know, there's a way in which we model things and there's a season in our lives, but he promised me, but I want you to know sometimes we forget God's promises, right? So I had been a mission mobilizer, like your pastor, someone who champions missions and would travel some, but I had an encounter with God where I really heard the Lord say that it was laying down pastoring and embracing full-time travel. And so in the last months, every month I've been in a different nation. So within a month of the encounter, I was in Kenya. I've been to Estonia, Croatia, Bolivia, Brazil. I mean, God is opening up doors. And I want you to know, I'm living a season in my life that the scripture I would call it is Ephesians 3:20. It's when you step into the far more than you can hope for or imagine. You start walking in dreams that God had for you that you had forgotten. And I pray that over this congregation, that that scripture, Ephesians 3:20, would begin to mark you in the sense that you want to start dreaming God's dreams. We have really good ideas, but they don't match God's. And when it's a God idea, when it's a God dream, well, if you have a God dream, it doesn't just come to you. Have you known that? Like the things that you need are given, but the things that are inheritance, you fight for. And how do you fight for them? In prayer, in secret, on your face before God. That's just the truth of it. And Jesus said this in Mark 11, have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Isn't that powerful? But what does it mean? Right before that, Jesus had spoken to a fig tree, and he cursed it because there was no fruit. And the disciples saw that his words had power and that literally the roots had shriveled up and died. Now, I want you to think about that. I mean, that's huge, isn't it? So that the power that our words do have power to create, just like Jesus was doing everything that the Father told him to do when Father God created the world, he spoke and it was created. I mean, that's kind of amazing when you think about it, isn't it? Now, I know that there's a new age moment or movement right now, and they'll say things like, manifest your destiny. And you know what's so hard sometimes about new age? Part of it is there's part of truth in what they're talking about because it's a godly principle, but then they're making it about themselves. They're making it about selfishness or selfish desire. That's not what this is about. Jesus didn't do anything that the Father didn't tell him to do. What this is about is coming into agreement with heaven's will, heaven's purposes, and agreeing with that. Do you see the difference? It's really important that we realize that we're not our own, that we serve God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. So, seven keys. First one, have faith in God, or have faith of God. Now, the reason I say that is, did you know that it can be translated either way? Some versions actually have faith of God. And it's very interesting because this is talking about a particular type of faith that's also talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, a gift of faith. And I want to talk about the difference here because most of the time as Christians, what we're talking about is enduring faith. And I want you to think of it like an eagle that soars. Enduring faith is one of those wings, you know, because there's so much of what we do that's enduring, step by step, walking, character. That's one of the wings. But sometimes we forget about this other wing, which is when it's a God idea and it's a God initiation and we come into agreement with it. And what happens, this does not happen all the time. This happens when there's a gift of faith. It's released and we know that something's going to happen. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this Mark 11 passage. Would you like me to illustrate it with some stories? So, debating which stories to tell. I had my last child at home birth. Do you know I could have bled to death? I mean, it was really bad. My placenta did not come out. Can you imagine what that's like? So I'd lost 25 cc's of blood. They were beginning to call, you know, it was older back then. They were calling the hospital to have me transferred, you know, emergency. I had a gift of faith. I did. With the midwife's help, I stood up and I commanded in Jesus' name for the placenta to come out. It dropped out. No emergency room, no extra cost. And within a week, I was out and about. Now, the reason I said that in short, I tried, men, not to be too graphic about that. You can imagine it was pretty graphic. I had a gift of faith. God had called us to do a home birth, and, you know, I kind of skipped the part where Sarah Faith came out blue because of the, you know, the cord. My mom was like, oh, my goodness. She walked out. She couldn't do it. But do you know what happened inside of me? I'm going, faith, faith, faith. And, you know, the cord was out, and she was, within moments, just perfect. No problem. Now, does that always happen? No, it doesn't. We have babies that die. So the struggle I have in telling you this is that this is a specific type of faith that you can feel and sense, and you need to act on it. Do you know what I'm saying? And you cannot make anybody else walk in it. Let me give you another example. She's a principal. Do you ever have field day? Do you guys do that? And field day is pretty important, isn't it? Well, we had one year where it rained. We had to postpone. We came to another date. It rained. We had to postpone. We were at our third rainout date. I knew I couldn't schedule it. I was a pastor and principal over an academy. Do you know what? I'm driving and the rain is hitting the windshield. My secretary, Lisa Wenzel's calling me. My children are in the car. And Lisa's asking me, do we cancel? I said, no. Gather everybody under the pavilion. I had compassion on my children. Now, I want you to think about how nuts this is. But I had a gift of faith. And I did something in that moment that I would not normally do. And I wouldn't recommend that you do it. But I'm going to tell you about it because a gift of faith hit me. I gathered the parents. They were not very happy, you know, and I didn't even look at the parents. I drew in the kindergarten students because they have faith. I jumped up on a table and I told the story about how Jesus commanded the storm and that Jesus' words, that the weather obeyed Jesus' words. I had them act it out. I had them stretch the arms out. And I said, we just pray right now that the rain would go away and that there would be a pleasant sun and a rainbow. Do you know God did it? Now, is that crazy? It is a little bit. But the reality is, I want you to know that from that moment on, there was a shift in an atmosphere over the academy where the children began to pray and believe. Because there is an aspect that faith has it. But remember about these two wings. Most of the time, it's enduring faith. But there are these moments of a gift of faith, and that's part of together, it makes you soar on eagle's wings. Now, I want you to think about, now I'm going to do a couple of weeks ago when I was in Brazil and God gave me a word of knowledge. Now, I want you to think about if you got this word of knowledge, big crowd, are you going to give it? Because sometimes you want to self-edit, right? I had a word of knowledge. God is opening blind eyes and deaf ears. I gave it. I had a whole crew of people. I couldn't believe how many. And first couple, nothing happened. And then I brought them all in and I said, I want you to tell you something. A couple months ago, I prayed for a woman with two deaf ears and both opened. And I started telling them testimonies. Why was I doing that? Exactly. I wanted them to come into agreement that God is a healer. Do you know? I believe, you know, we count each ear. So I think I'm going to get my statistics wrong. It was about five ears that were opened and six eyes that were opened. Is that amazing, you guys? That's a couple of weeks ago. Now, do I do that just in my own mind? No, I don't. But I've seasoned so that I'm listening to what does heaven want to do. Does that make sense? And that God wants to us to cooperate with bringing heaven to earth. But we don't do that with selfishness. We do that with surrender and listening. Amen? So number one, I'm going to go very quickly now. Have faith in God. Number two, speak to the mountain. You have to use your words where you're praying, you're believing. Number three, really believe in your heart. This is straight from the scripture. Number four, no doubt in your heart. Number five, pray in faith. I'm going to give you an illustration here. This is one of your missionaries, Brenda Keene. And 26 years ago, I had prophesied over her when I didn't know her the nations. I knew I had hit the mark because she began to weep so profusely that her tears ran down. I just spoke to her last night, by the way. She's ministering to the bridge right now and headed back to Kenya. But they had never had land. They had been there and worked in four places in the slums. They'd already had a medical clinic. They had already ministering a school, but they had no land of their own. Do you know what I mean? And we went together and saw a piece of land, and a gift of faith hit me. And they're reminding me about it when we went back. And now there's a little structure and you can see that they had it. But I had a gift of faith. Now you need to know I didn't have money. It's not like I'm an entrepreneur and, oh yeah, we can buy it and I have the money. No, I didn't have money. But I had a gift of faith. And do you know when I went back a year later and it's got this building, all the prayer warriors were around. We didn't believe. We didn't have faith. We didn't think it could happen. But you did. And I want you to realize that it's only when it's heaven's idea. Does that make sense? Well, this is huge for them to have land now and to be able to minister. It's a huge deal. This is the wife of the president of Kenya, Her Excellency Rachel Ruto. A year ago, I met her in Dallas at a private meeting, and I prophesied over her, and her husband was elected in September. And so we built a friendship, and we went back. I took my dear friend, two people with me here, and this is Tara. She's the senior pastor's wife of a large church in Dallas. A year ago, I prophesied over her. We had lunch, and she was in that transitional time period where she'd not told anyone that she needed a mentor except God and her husband. Well, I took her on a mentoring journey, and she had come alive when she was in Kenya, so she went with me. And when we went to the State House. Now, I want you to think about if you were going to the White House, would you be a little bit nervous? Would you be getting dressed up? Is there going to be security when you get there? Okay, that's what it's like at the State House. And so I'm thinking, okay, we're going to have 15 minutes. I'm going to honor. Well, I went in and prophesied over her, and God had told me to give her my Bible. That was very hard to do, by the way. But I gave her my Bible. I prophesied. She was so moved that she opened the door. Their staff was fasting and praying that day. So she had me pray and prophesy over Kenya to 60 of her staff. Then she dismissed them and said, if you want ministry, you can stay. Well, no one moved. They came up and for hours were ministering to them, and they're weeping and they're recording words. And then it didn't end. We go back. We go back to a private quarters. We kick off our shoes, and she starts sharing prayer requests. I want to ask you something. Can you make something like that happen? This is when you go into places, like one of the times, I've now been at the State House four times. You know, I was with her recently in Dallas. That's an event, a banquet we threw for her. We were both. So God's doing something. One of the things that she's asked me to help her with is she would like to host every one of the first ladies from the 54 nations of Africa. Now, I want you to think about that. Would that make an impact on the continent of Africa? I believe it would. But do you see how this doesn't happen if you're not in the secret place praying, believing, not allowing doubt, you know, or insecurity to hold you back, but ministering? When I got home, my mother, my prayer warrior, runs out and she says, "You're blowing my mind. I've always prayed for you." And she'd had a word when I was when she was pregnant that I'd be a prophet to the nations from Jeremiah 1. But she said, "You're doing things that I've never dreamed of." Ephesians 3:20. You step into God's dream for your life, His idea, His initiation. Key 6, and I'm not going to spend much time on this, but often people separate verse 25 from 22 to 24, and it's a real mistake. Because in the aspect, He brings up forgiveness, Jesus does. That sometimes things are not moving because we have unforgiveness in our hearts. And so here, you can take pictures of this. I talk about what forgiveness is. You know, forgiveness is not forgiving. You know, it's not forgetting. Only God is able to forget, you know. That forgiveness is real deep down. And this is a beginning of real breakthrough in your life. And so this key is very important. I'm going to move on. Number 7. Oops. Key 7. Stand. And this scripture is from Ephesians 6. And I bring this up because we live in a life where sometimes what we pray does not happen on earth. Is that right? Or am I the only one that sometimes I pray for things, right? And they don't happen. And I want you to know that's what the devil loves at, because the devil wants you to become discouraged. The devil wants you to reject. The devil wants you to give up, right? But the scripture, that's when, remember the two wings of the eagle? You had the gift of faith, and then it's the enduring faith. You stand. You stand. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is very, very real. God delights when we stand. Now, as we close, I want to give a specific call to a number of different things. But the first call is that if you are presently in a situation where you feel like you've gone through six steps, you know, you've forgiven everybody you know of, you've had faith, you've prayed, you believed, you've gone through six steps, and you're in this one right now, you're standing, you're believing. That's the hardest part, isn't it? If that is where you are, would you just stand to your feet this moment, just where you are, just stand. Mm-hmm. I am so not surprised that so many of you are standing. Would you go ahead and just come to the front? Just line up with your hands to the Lord. I want to pray and prophesy over all of you. And this is quite a number. I had a sense in preparation. Just put your hands to the Lord and look up to him. Just begin to look up to him. Lord God, I thank you for the faithfulness of this congregation. I thank you for the faith, the prayer, the worship, the presence. And yet, Lord, there are many right now that they're in a situation of standing. And so, first of all, God, I just break every attack of disappointment off of you in the name of Jesus. For God doesn't disappoint. The world does, man does, our bodies do. But God doesn't. So, Lord, I pray that every form of disappointment would be broken. I pray that there'd be a hope and a joy released in the spiritual realm. Lord, I pray for hilarious joy. I pray for an outbreak of knowing, God, that you are good. Even when it doesn't look like you're doing what I've asked for, God, you are good. And even when I feel like I'm suffering and no one knows, God, that's a lie. And by the way, right now in the name of Jesus, we break lies. Now, if that lie comes to your mind, just say, I renounce that lie. The enemy hides behind lies. Do you know what I'm saying? So right now, in the name of Jesus, every form of lie, I pray that you would break it. And Lord, I pray that you would release a supernatural strength. And I prophesy over you just that you would be renewed like the eagles. And I want you to get a picture of yourself soaring with both wings, but you're going up to a very high place where eagles will go when they're recovering. And they go to this very high place, and they lose their old feathers, and new feathers begin to grow in. And I just pray a supernatural youth, that there would be new wings that would begin to grow, Lord, and that we know that that means they'll soar higher. Father, I pray for hope to be released in the spiritual realm. God, hope, hope, hope. And I hear the Lord saying, you have permission to dream. There's some of you that you haven't wanted to dream. Oh, I don't. You haven't wanted to dream. You're afraid of dreaming. Lord, I just pray. Lord, first of all, comfort God. And Lord, I pray. And you know what? It's all right to say, God, I want your dreams. You know what I mean? It's all right to just do that. God, I pray that there would be new dreams over her heart, God. That those dreams would come from you. Lord, I pray that there'd be an increase of the presence and the power of God in her life, God, that I pray over this entire group that there'd be a resurgence of the prayers of God, the presence of God, belief in God, the stirring up, Lord, that each one would be filled with a fresh perspective and understanding. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Would the worship team come up, and Pastor Jeff, would you come up? And as Pastor Jeff's coming up, I'm going to say something just about this picture that I chose here. This is in Brazil. This is a church that's adopted us. It's like a 10,000-member church. This man right here, he was born with a stutter. He's the senior pastor's son who stuttered. Do you know he still speaks with a stutter? But when he preaches, there's no stutter. Is that not supernatural? And because of that, he's such a humble man. And right here, he's a spiritual father. This is a young adult pastor, and we're calling out and we're commissioning. And the reason I wanted to share that story is that I see that over you, Pastor Jeff. And Tracy, come on up here because it's on both of you. Boy, can you preach, girl. God is raising you up and this house up to be a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. And I just speak over this house. I say, let a portal be opened. Let there be a portal be open. Lord, this is a father and a mother in the spirit. So, Father, I call forth the spiritual sons and daughters from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I call in the spiritual children that are going to rise up in this house. And Father, I pray that they would begin to find this house and that there would be an explosion of an impartation from a healthy spiritual dad and a spiritual mother. Congregation, can you agree with this? In Jesus' name, give them a hand clap.